sex-positive world is one where pleasure is for everyone, where we have access to pleasure in all different ways, in your environment, what you have access to, the types of relationships that your sexual expression, who you're attracted to, can be safe, sane, and consensual at the community level, where we can really hold each other in a place where pleasure is for everyone.
Welcome into the expansive world of cis society, a space where taboos dissolve, shadows become allies, and sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality are celebrated as gateways to truth. This is Taboo Talks, a podcast where no topic is off limits, and everything is held with courage, compassion, and curiosity. Together, let's shatter the limits of what we've been taught to fear and transform it into the power to live fully, freely, and authentically.
So today we are honored to be joined by Jamie Love. They are the executive director of Sex Positive World, a nonprofit dedicated to community building around consent and sex positivity and sex education for adults with online and in-person workshops. Jamie is passionate about creating accessible sex education and community with vibrant third places where adults can explore intimacy, identity, and new experiences. Jamie Love is polyamorous, kinky, and a voyeuristic ethical slut. Welcome on to the show, Jamie. Yeah, I want to just dive in with the first question and ask you, what led you into this fascinating field?
So the place that this started is on Casual Encounters on Craigslist. If y'all remember that, it was a place where you could go meet people for encounters and write down what you'd like. And I met someone through that, who really just wanted to like have like a nudist cuddly experience, and not a hookup. And it was the first time I had really encountered somebody who really like explicitly said what they wanted. And there was nothing else implied about it. Like, it was the first encounter with consent culture. So what got me into this is I was raised in a conservative Christian environment. I was born a girl, so it was expected that I was going to be a wife and a mother. And the goal of my life was to raise children. And I just never really had that inclination myself. In fact, I was like, I didn't know it at the time, but I was a very sexual person. And very experimental also. So when I first got introduced to sex positivity, it was my first time like hearing about sex parties and dungeons and cuddle parties and massage parties and tantra. And I met my first polycule and met a trans person in real life, which is something that my environment just didn't have growing up. Mm-hmm. And I was absolutely hooked. It was like I found my people. You know, I wanted to join the circus my whole life. I didn't know that the circus was this, basically. So that's what got me into it. My background's in television and film, so I really love orchestrating big, complex teams and ideas. And there was a lot of need for leadership in this area, so I ended up jumping into the leadership team. And it's been this amazing experimentation. I've met lots of sex educators, been to some cool parties. I've seen some really crazy shit out there. And that's really what got me into it, was finding a place where I could be free to be myself and not be judged and maybe even try something new and try some things and find out I didn't like that thing and it was all cool and I didn't lose friends over it. So it's this community, this third place, outside of this need for religion or to fit into a box, like where you could really just authentically be yourself.
Shatter the box, find your people. I love that so much. It's inspiring that, you know, like when we're younger, I feel like we can sense freedom, right? Beyond the narratives that we're given. And it isn't until we meet them, right? When you got into this world that actually are like, oh my God, it's real. It exists. Like I'm home.
Yeah, totally. And
yeah. I'm curious what that homecoming felt like for you. Was it like, I've always known this to be true, or was it like, oh my God, I had no idea this was here. Like, this is it for me.
Yeah. And to like, just add on to that question, was it like this overnight epiphany of like, I'm home, or was it like layers and years of stripping away? Because I grew up in a very religious Christian family too. So I'd love to just hear more about the process of that homecoming and how that was, especially coming from a religious background.
Yeah, totally. I'll start by saying, like, what got me started was not being in community. I was, like, meeting people, like I mentioned, off of, like, casual encounters. So the first place I was experimenting was really high risk, like meeting strangers off the internet to go have sexual encounters. So when I first came to an orientation with Sex Positive Los Angeles, which is one of our chapters, it was like a fire hose of information where I was just like, I didn't have any clue that these things existed. And like, it took a little while for me to feel like it also belongs to me because I didn't fit into their box yet. You know, like, I teach a class called Gender Affirming Intimacy with my bestie, Lady V. And we talk about the fact that like queerness, for example, has a style to it. You know, if you go to a sex positive space, you might see lots of costumes or people just dropping in. And it took me a while to really feel like these are my people because I needed to get to know them first. And then on top of that, there's all the deconstructing that you need to do. Like for me, one of the big ones was if we're being intimate or we're talking about sex, if we're starting to feel sexual, sex has to happen. Or if I'm with a partner, sex has to happen. And a big aha for me was you don't have to act on those impulses. You don't have to act on them just because someone's your partner. And really stepping back into being less of a people pleaser, because I'm still a people pleaser, but being able to speak up when something's getting uncomfortable or not working. So it took a while for me to feel like I actually had the skills to navigate in the community, but they really did a lot to make me feel like it was home. And I try to do that now for others. Yeah, I think that's all I'll say about that.
I love that. By the way, the people pleasing thing, I had this discussion the other day with my mom. She's like, I'm a people pleaser. And yeah. I think if you're aware of it, you're a conscious people pleaser and you're just keep people pleasing. And she's like, I love that. So the new term is conscious people pleaser.
I like that.
You're fully aware of your people pleasing. It's not in the driver's seat. Like you're friends with it. You're into it. Like you love it. So it's a little existential kink reverse there. But yeah, this is great. Thank you for sharing. And that tidbit you shared around not feeling obligated to have sex was a huge revelation for me.
Yeah.
I think as it is for so many of us, where I'm just like, oh my God, every single moment I'm a new individual, I'm a new being, and that there's no contract. The contract has always been in my mind of like the things that I thought I had to do or how I had to show up. So I appreciate you speaking into this. So yeah. Do you have something else, Elf, before we...
I just want to say one more thing about that before you wrap this section, but yeah, like when I hear the word sex, like sex positive, I think in my mind, it's just, I'm assuming it's like, oh, penetrative sex. And
heterosexual
is it's just sexuality, and sexuality can literally be the way that we move our body in like an undulating current of Kundalini energy, or it can be the way that we just speak and express ourselves down to, you know, making out or cuddling or dancing or oral sex or penetrative sex. And so I think just kind of putting that little bow on top of that word and understanding that sex positive world doesn't necessarily mean everyone's like fucking all the time. It just means that we're embodied in our sexual energy. And that's like a positive, beautiful thing that we can weave into everything.
Yeah, I appreciate that reflection, because sometimes I get the question of like, is sex positivity for folks who are asexual, or is it for people who are monogamous? And I say to that, yes, absolutely, because we are all sexual in some kind of way. Folks who are maybe on the A spectrum who are asexual, some of those folks experience like skin hunger, just the desire to have that oxytocin and dopamine and, you know, satisfaction that comes from just being close with other folks. Not everyone experiences that either, but there is space for all of it. So yeah, absolutely, it's about the fact that we're pursuing pleasure and reorienting towards pleasure. It's what we talk about in somatic sex education, as opposed to when's the orgy happening. Because if you want to find an orgy, you can probably find one, especially like I live here in Portland. Like we have sex clubs here. And I say, we're a place where you learn the skills of how to navigate that place if you want to go there, or maybe pick up skills that are in the dating realm, or if you're in open relationships, finding community in that so that you're not the only polyamorous person and you can never talk about that identity with people around you because you might, you know, there's like not a lot of protections for folks if they're outside of the norm when it comes to being monogamous and being straight and so on and so forth. There's a lot of sexual identities where people feel like, I can't talk about this. So reorienting towards pleasure and then being able to be open about what you actually enjoy.
Yeah, reorienting towards pleasure. I'm having trouble saying that word. Normal, we both are. I'm like, reorienting and normalizing these conversations, which is like what we're here. And I'm so grateful to be here with you. Thank you for your vulnerability and openness so far. And I'm so looking forward to continuing the conversation right after we have a short break from our affiliates. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
The show, just because I'm so excited to tell you guys about one of the most transformative online tools that I've used that has really unlocked my pleasure journey to the next level, and that is the OMGS course. So until this last year, I actually struggled to orgasm on my own without the help of a toy. I felt dependent, I felt hopeless, and I honestly felt like there was something wrong with me. But within just 2 weeks of starting this course, I had my first orgasm from my own touch, and I was like, hallelujah, I'm not broken. And it's just opened up so much since then. I can honestly say it's just gotten better and wetter from there. So OMGS course is a fun, user-friendly course packed with all sorts of different videos and techniques and showcases a myriad of different women. And it will completely shift the way that you experience pleasure. So whether you're struggling with orgasms or maybe you just want to amplify your pleasure, both solo and with a partner, this course is truly a game changer. You can use the link in our show notes below to unlock your orgiastic potential and also to support the expansion of the Cis Society movement.
Welcome back to Taboo Talks. We are here with Jamie Love, and we have been talking about sex positivity. So, Jamie, I'm so curious. We're going to get into the meat of this topic. Why does sex positivity matter more than ever right now on the planet?
It matters so much because sex positivity, like I said, is about pleasure. Getting pleasure can include things like taking a nap when you're tired. Mm-hmm. It's really about getting needs met beyond just sexuality. And we're in a time right now where there's a lot of unrest, there's a lot of things being deconstructed, and our access to rest, our access to third places, you know, places that you can go and be with people and not have to pay money, like the park. Like, we're losing access to those things also. Sex education is also always a threat because we don't want to indoctrinate children towards transgenderism is like a big story out there. When you have a kid, though, who's queer or trans, like, that's a really big hook for them to actually understand what is going on with them. Like, I identify as a gender fluid person, and that's been a confusing process for me because I did not fit into the box of womanness and girlness, but sometimes I did, sometimes I do. And being able to process that was not possible when I was a child because we didn't talk about it. It was mostly about indoctrinating transphobia for me, being raised in Christianity or not judging, but knowing God will judge them. So I think it's important because this is about looking at people as sovereign beings who are having a unique experience that ought to have access to pleasure. I really believe that people ought to have access to pleasure because the world is stressful and it's working on taking those things away. So this is about human rights, for example, like access to like HRT, hormone replacement therapy, being taken away in some states in the United States. We now see people coming to Portland to have access to their medical needs. This is all related to sex positivity. And beyond just like being trans, it's things like access to birth control and healthcare. Being able to say, me and my doctor can talk through what my needs are, and through their expertise and my needs, we can make a determination, as opposed to just shutting down access to abortion care, which is part of health care, or technically access to birth control, which I have had a lot of fear around my entire life, and watching Roe v. Wade being overturned in the United States. So we generally see this movement towards taking away access to pleasure, access to free time, access to nice places, or you only have access if you have money. This is why sex positivity is important, because it gets us looking at each other as humans and saying, you experience suffering and pleasure and a whole gamut of emotions just like I do. How do we actually care for each other instead of getting all caught up in the narrative of how those other people are not like me, we're normal, so they ought to have their rights taken away. I very much stand against that. That's what sex positivity is all about. Teaching people how to have the hard conversations to identify what they actually want. And then it gives us kind of this idea and bigger idea of the structures that keep us from having access to pleasure. That's a big part of what we ask, actually, at Sex Positive World, like with our education, is who does not have access to pleasure?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It's really inspiring. I mean, just the concept of taking it away from, like, you know, the traditional structures of, like, sex and, like, what that narrative's been, right?
Yeah.
Like, and saying, like, oh, you don't have, like, you know, access to, like, you're working so much that you, like, don't have time to take the pleasure time to take a nap or to, like, honor yourself or to go for a walk in the park. And, yeah. Like, that's also sex positivity. It's like, this is, like, our life force energy.
Yeah.
And, like, this original structure of, like, we work 98% of the year and we go on vacation 2% of the year is not sustainable. And it's so, these conversations feel so important to have, so that can change.
Yes.
Yeah. And going even deeper into that shadow realm of living in this overworked, under-pleasured society that really has a lot of judgment, shame, criticism around rest, around, even if it's at a subconscious level, around pleasure, let alone, like, you know, gender fluidity and all these other alternative countercultures. And I put quotations on that because I feel like that's all normal. It's all on the spectrum. But I'm curious to hear, like, what do you think the really serious repercussions of this kind of a lifestyle are for people, both short-term and long-term effects?
I think that the biggest repercussion on a person level is disconnection. For one, the fact that you're not looking at other people and seeing a human, a sovereign being, having their own experience. I think that's an absolute tragedy. It's not good for the person who's being witnessed, but it's not good for the witness either. So it's taking away something human about you and turning you into something very callous and hard-hearted. That's one big side effect of that. Like, I definitely learned to be very callous in a Christian upbringing, because my feelings, my somatic experience didn't matter. The rules matter. It's interesting I'm saying the rules, because I feel like from a religion, like, the religion should matter, the prophet should matter, but really the rules are what matter. So that's a piece of it. And then when you scale that up to the community, to the country, you know, and to, like, the bigger implications of it, is we're callous towards folks who live in other countries because we're extracting their resources, because who cares if they don't have clean water? We need iPhones. So we end up having this scale up over and over. It might be around, like, people who can't afford to pay rent, so they end up living on the street, and then they have secondary consequences of that because it's really hard to live on the street. And then when we see them there, we stop thinking of them as human. We start thinking of them as the other. I think that is such a huge part of sex positivity, is to say everyone is a person and therefore pleasure is their birthright. So this is really about how do we unite people into thinking of each other as sovereign beings who can make their own choices, and then find some level of consent between each other about how we can actually play well together in our spaces.
Yeah, I'm hearing, like, this common thread of disconnection that is really so debilitating for community building, for thriving of international connections. And then if I'm like, we're zooming out, right, to their disconnection with other people, whether it's with families, with friends, with communities, but then I just feel that that external disconnection is a direct reflection of that internal disconnection that also happens when we're living in this kind of a world, right? So maybe speaking more on what's that internal disconnection that happens when we grow up in a sex negative world. Like for myself, I can just speak briefly on this. Like I did not know how to orgasm without a toy until like about a year ago. And I'm 30, almost 33 years old. And I had so much shame around masturbation, my yoni, touching myself, no sex education at all. And so there was so much shame and guilt, like buried somatically, that was disconnecting me just from an orgasm, which is like our birthright to experience from our body. Yeah. So if you could go more into the disconnection that also happens within the individual.
Yeah, I think I'll share a little bit of like personal experiences because I don't want to speak to other people's disconnections. So I know my own. Like I know that like for me, exactly what you were just talking about was like I learned to shut down my internal intuition because I needed to follow the rules. It even comes to things like how do you be a member of the clean plate club? Well, you don't stop eating when you're not hungry anymore. You clean your plate. Because that's more important than your health, wellness, and nutrition. And sometimes kids need to be forced to do things because that's part of growing up. But it teaches you to gorge and clean your plate as opposed to realizing that you are full now and not finishing it. So taking that over to like the sexuality side, I know a big aha moment for me was, so I was born a girl. I'm in a woman's body now. And what that means is if someone sees my naked body, it is a sex object. That's the story of being in the culture that is America. If a woman is naked, it's because she wants to be seen and sexualized. So one of my first experiences was a nudist experience. I went to the hot springs with a sweetie of mine, and we hung out in the hot springs. I had never just been naked in the water and then also not sexualized. What I mean by that is people saw me naked, and they did not feel the need to make sexual comments about me or my body, about me and my relationship, the person that I was with. We were just doing our thing, being naked. And that was a huge aha moment for me, especially somatically, because I suddenly felt so connected to nature. And I felt so comfortable. And it was this big realization moment that, like, I am part of nature. Because I had never had that experience. There was something about, like, always being clothed outside and not feeling the wind across your entire body or feeling the water that really connects you. And I just hadn't had that experience. Another example would be I have a lover who is as sexual as I am, who's very much about take, be hungry, be here for it. Like they enjoy that energy as much as I do. And I will still tell myself a story mid-sex where I'm just like, I hope it's okay that I'm taking this. I hope it's, and you see, I'm trying to kind of make myself smaller even in my own head because pursuing pleasure that I want as a woman, you know, is less important in our culture or is something I wasn't supposed to desire. So it really got in my head that my sexual desire, my sexual needs need to be secondary or they're immature, for example, because if anything sexual, it's also immature. And I had a big moment a few years ago where I said, you know what? Sex is extremely important to me and I cannot be in a relationship with somebody who's not going to meet me sexually. But because we talk about like, you know, you get married and then you stop having the sex and you just get over it. I never understood that narrative because I was like, I don't know. You all keep telling me I'm going to want to have kids one day and I don't want that either. So it's about like these internal stories get stuck in our nervous system. I'm a big believer in somatic work because I am also a survivor of domestic abuse, which somewhat came from that religious upbringing and what I used to think was normal and is not normal. And breathing through the tension of that because I used to have lots of stomach problems, like because my stomach would get locked up and it would kind of feel like grindy. school, I kept saying yes to things I didn't want to do. And it wasn't until I started doing consent work and somatic work and breath work that I started actually learning how to listen to my body again.
This is so deeply touching. Thank you so much for opening up and sharing all of this. And yeah. I'd like to zoom into one thing that you spoke into, and it was like you advocating for your sexual wellness, specifically with a lover mm-hmm. or partner. Like, for those listening that don't have the tools to be able to have these conversations, are you open to modeling one? Like, when you first are dropping in with someone, what mm-hmm. does the conversation look like? What things are said? Is there a structure or a format that might support people? Because, like, I'm here talking to myself, like, 15 years ago, you know, sitting in front of a guy and just being like, now what? You know, like, what's next?
Yeah. Well, I'll start off by saying Sex Positive World offers classes on this, which is part of what got me really jumped into this whole world. We teach a class called Awesome Boundaries, where we talk about exactly this. So, like, tools for your awesome boundaries toolkits, the way that we don't listen to our internal parts. And I spoke to some of that even, so that was covered in that class. And then the Pleasure Talk. The Pleasure Talk is our version of a safer sex talk. It basically breaks it down to three parts, which is around connection, safety, and then pleasure. So if we're having a connection, what kind of connection are we going to have? What are our safety needs? Not just your STI status, your emotional needs, your physical needs. And then also pleasure. What is actually pleasurable with this person? Because for some folks, it's super kinky. And for some folks, it's super vanilla. And for some folks, they will say things and you're like, I didn't know that was a thing, but I want to try it. And then you find a new kink. So as far as like modeling it, I go back to the work of Dr. Evelyn Dacher, because she has an acronym. She has a website called Make Time for the Talk and a lot of education on STIs. So if you're looking for a deep dive, I highly recommend her work at maketimeforthetalk.com. And I also recommend the class we teach, The Pleasure Talk. But hers breaks down into STARS, which is your STI status, your turn-ons, your avoids, your relationship intentions, and then your actual safety needs in the moment. So if I can hit those five things, I know we've talked enough. Like, for example, I am a polyamorous ethical slut. If you have sex with me, it does not mean we're in a relationship. We don't have to do it again. We can just hang out. If it gets awkward halfway through, tell me, we can stop. It does not mean we're getting into a relationship. And I have met folks where I'm really glad we talked about relationship intentions, because it turned out that that meant a lot more to them. If they're having the sex with me, that means now we're like in a relationship where they'll be really sweet. And I'm like, whoa.
Discussing meaning. Discussing meaning is so important.
Yes.
I have my own acronym, my own set of tools, but you know, I'm asking you because you are a wealth of information. Yeah. But yeah, the acronym I use is RBDSMA. Maybe you've heard of it before.
I don't know that one.
No. R, relationship status, B, boundaries, D, desires, S, sexual health, like when were you tested, yeah, you believe in condoms, like what does that look like? M, meaning, what will you make an experience between us mean? And A, aftercare.
Yeah.
But meaning is so important. Sorry, I've interrupted.
Yeah. It really, really is. And I've actually said no to having sex with people before, because the idea of having sex was really fun. But I have learned as an ethical slut, it's not ethical for me to have sex with people who are going to want more from me than I have to give. And that doesn't make me cold or callous or less femme, which is also part of the story I tell myself, because if you're a woman, the relationship ought to be your top priority, is the story of our sex negative culture. So when I say to people, do you gotta think of me more like a boy? You know, like I'm here to have an experience and then we can just move along with our lives. And people go, well, I don't want that. I'm definitely going to get attached to you, but let's still have the sex. I have to be the one to shut that down these days. And it took me a while to learn that lesson, because like you're saying, the meaning of sex to people, and also what qualifies as sex, which when folks ask me, like, what's your body count? Because I just introduced myself by saying I have sex with a lot of people. Whatever you think is a lot of people, add another zero, to quote Reid Mahalko. And people will then ask, well, then how many people? I go, well, what counts as sex? do we have to be seeking orgasm? Does kink count as sex, especially if we don't get our genitals out, but we had a really connected, intense experience? What if there's no penetration? What if there's no orgasm? And that's when things get kind of complicated, because sex is not one thing. It's very personal, and it's not fair to say sex is only penis and vagina, and it only counts if there's orgasm. And 9 times out of 10, we mean ejaculation as opposed to orgasm. And I explicitly say ejaculation because men and penis havers can also have orgasms that don't involve ejaculation. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge, complex idea. And not talking about it and just letting one thing lead to the next causes a lot of problems.
Please talk about it. Yeah, what's coming up too, I would love to dive into, like, redirect a little bit. But it came through in the last thing that you shared around the concept of losing one's virginity. Do you have thoughts around that? Because it's something we actually haven't touched based on the show. Like, I have my own feelings, but I'm curious where you are with the concept of losing your virginity. And when people ask you, when did you lose your virginity? And yeah, just have to debunk that and just bring it to the surface.
Well, let's start off with, what is a virgin exactly? I would say it's a social construct. It's something that we made up to control people. What is a felon? It's a construct. It's something that we made up so that then we could label you and make some rules about you. So what is a virgin? You just asking me, I had a minute even internally where I was like, do people ask this of men, AMAB folks who become men? And I'm sure that they do, but it feels like a very female question. You know, when did you lose your virginity? Because people with penises are the perpetrators who take something from people who have a hole, and that's how it works. And if you are going into sex with a lot of integrity and choice, it's not really something that can be taken, or maybe you're giving on purpose. Like Betty Martin talks about the wheel of consent. Giving and taking is consent if you're doing it on purpose. So I think it's really awful. I think it really continues the story and narrative of what it means to be sex negative, is to say you're more valuable if you fit into the category of virgin, because it's about controlling your body as opposed to allowing you to make conscious, good choices. Or this idea that if you have a penis and you're not first, like, you're missing something. So it's purity culture, this idea that there is some version of human that's perfect and we must protect it, as opposed to, like, you're a complex being that's constantly changing, and that changes over time. And it also, looking at it that way, because to me, virginity is about a hole in a penis. What about lesbian sex? What about sex that doesn't involve penetration? Like, there's a lot of places where it skirts the line. So I don't like the concept of virgin. I get that some folks might find a lot of, like, help with that, especially because of the upbringing, but it's a control idea. It's the idea of, I need to control your body, we need to keep you pure. And I remember an entire purity movement that I was part of, where they give you a ring, you need to save yourself for your husband.
I had one of those too, oh, and a notebook.
Yeah, with no real understanding. And I just think it's ridiculous to do that to young folks, because there's actually a lot of intimacy you can explore very safely that I wish that we talked about instead. Like, I've talked to teenagers before about a non-religious approach to sexuality, where I actually talked about kink and consent and kink. Or the fact that, like, mutual masturbation, for example, can be really, really intimate, and it's super safe. Like, that's something that you could do with a partner, and No adult, I think, could talk to these teenagers like this before, because everyone was a little uncomfortable, but also very interested.
Right, they're leaned in and, like, simultaneous.
Yeah. Like, there were therapists present. I wasn't just talking to teen. I was invited to do this.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for speaking into that. It came through in that last bit, and I really, everything that you said, I second. I feel in my body. I appreciate that you spoke into. And we've covered so much so far, and we're not done yet. We're just going to take one more short break from our delicious affiliates, and we'll be right back for more with Jamie Love. This episode is sponsored by our friends at Goop, and honestly, we just love them. They're not afraid to go there. Sensuality, sexuality, even the taboo. From luxurious pleasure tools to thought-provoking conversations, Goop invites us to explore our bodies with curiosity and reverence. And right now, they're offering The Sensual Self, which is a curated journey into pleasure, embodiment, and truth. Head over to goop.com/sensualself to dive right in. You deserve it.
Well, Jamie, it's been so incredible deep diving into sex positivity and what that would look like in our world with you in this episode of Taboo Talks. And before we wrap up, I would love to leave the listeners with like 2 to 3 practical tips of how they can start to create a more sex positive world today.
So 3 or 4 tips on how to create a more sex positive world today. For one, I'm going to start with yourself, working on finding more pleasure in the moment. So creating a more sex positive world, what would make it more pleasant? And I'm talking about like mindfulness exercises, taking a deep breath and noticing like it's nice outside, or maybe you're holding tension in your body somewhere that you don't really need to. That can include journaling and other sweet practices, making sure that you're drinking water. I talk out loud to myself, especially to like my younger self, who is sometimes demanding or perfectionist, and really love on that part of myself to make sure that I'm taking care of me now because of that somatic piece. So for one, to be more sex positive, orient yourself towards pleasure, not just sexual pleasure, but like what would make this moment a little more pleasurable. Take a really deep breath and let your exhales get longer. You will tick down your nervous system from a stress response to a rest response. You have to do it for a little while, but check out breathing techniques. 2, support folks who are working at this. So like get involved with your local LGBT center, for example, because that's where you're going to find the most advocates for sexual freedom and people who really care about our right to marry who we want to marry, our right to getting health care that we actually need and want. So getting involved with those places or volunteering would be really great. And come to a Sex Positive World class. They are offered online on a sliding scale, which means you can go for free. We will take your money if you're willing to give it to us. But those classes are actually experiential. So you have time to meet other people, to practice things like a pleasure talk, so that you can have the somatic experience of what it's like to talk about STIs, which I know for me really freaked me out the first time I did it. Now I've done it a few times and I've built the muscle of talking about STIs. I think that that's a really amazing resource, and you might find out that we have a chapter in your city. So if you live in Los Angeles, Portland, Salt Lake City, a dozen other places, there might be an opportunity to go to a cuddle party or go to a massage night and actually have the experience with folks. And having the experience is very different than knowing about an experience. The first time I went to a cuddle party, I thought this will be like no big deal. And it blew my mind. It unlocked a lot of stuff I needed to process, and I am better for that experience. So I'd say that's maybe 3 things you could do. 1, working on your own self-care. 2, getting involved with like local LGBT groups, and then come to a Sex Positive World class or join one of our chapters.
Thank you. You and your work with Sex Positive World is so beautiful. Like having you on the show has been such a treat, and we're going to link everything in our show notes. So please check out Sex Positive World below. They have tons of great resources. Like get involved, like put yourself out there, try something new, like experience that growth edge. And before we wrap, I would love to offer you the platform to just share something that you're excited about right now in your life with our listeners.
So I hold a couple titles. I'm executive director of Sex Positive World, but also Sex Positive Portland, which is our chapter here in Portland, Oregon. And we're hosting Polytopia this September. It will be September 19th through 21 in downtown Portland, Oregon. It's a weekend all focused on polyamory. So we're going to have workshops, we're going to have meals together, we're going to have a big show Saturday night. And to me, that's really exciting because I get to meet other people who are talking about this. I get to be in an environment with people who are going through similar struggles and also successes that I am. And I'm really excited about it because it's one of the biggest events that I've been part of organizing. So it'll be about 200 folks in attendance. So people coming from all over, a lot of folks from Portland and our LA chapter also. I'm really excited for that upcoming event.
Yeah, if you're feeling intrigued, please check out Polytopia and head over there to join the community. And before we wrap, we like to ask our guests for something a little quirky and funky. Are you open to potentially doing this thing with us?
Okay, let's see what it is.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. With sovereignty, like, I respect your choice. Can you describe one sound about how you feel after having this conversation?
A sound?
One sound. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure to have you. And we look forward to seeing both you blossom and Sex Positive World continue to blossom.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences need to be broken. Each week we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it. Thank you for tuning into Taboo Talks, where some truths need to be spoken and some silences need to be broken. Each week, we come together with diverse minds to explore and integrate the dance between shadow and light. Join our community and stay connected to all of the exciting movements of our mission through our website at cissociety.world, where you can sign up for our email list. This is the best way to stay updated on new taboo topics, episodes of our podcast, and even find live events near you. On our website, you'll also find links to follow our podcast, Taboo Talks, on platforms like Spotify, YouTube, and Apple. For those who want to dive even deeper, you can join our private WhatsApp community to engage in meaningful discussions about taboo topics with members from all over the world. So don't miss a moment. Visit cissociety.world and share these conversations to support the expansion of our mission. Together, we can spark the change the world needs. Until next time, stay curious, stay open, and remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it.